That's really cool.
I know. I saw your
awesome.
Email this morning.
Hey, cool. Amazing. Now I have to walk around afterward and see who has pearls, right? So you took them off. You had yours on and you took them off. I'm going to sit in Lucy's chair because I feel like I'm closer to you guys when I'm doing that. And that's just really sweet. So, and let me say, first off, it's just so exciting to be back here at the Spiritual Light Center. Lucy spoke about the history here. And the history is that many years ago in like January, I got a call from Carolyn Kell. Carolyn used to have Bill Groves' position here. And she called and said, "We hear that you are studying to be a Science of Mind minister. Would you come and speak to us on Easter?" And I was like, yeah, as long as I don't have to talk about Jesus, because I'm not there yet. So we're getting there. Things do progress. We're always growing. And I did finally make it through that program, and I am an ordained Science of Mind minister. I live over in Silva, and I am the minister of what is called Open Door Center for Spiritual Living. So come visit us sometime or check us out on the web, opendoorcsl.org, I think, something like that. But we can get it to you if you want it, or these good folks can. So we've all been kind of members of the same larger family for many years. And if I don't, or if you don't find out or you're interested, every year in like September, we have a big picnic. The last couple of years, we've done this in Cullowhee, which seems to be the central place for folks here from Franklin, our folks in Silva, and then folks who are also from the Creative Thought Center, which is very similarly minded to these two other communities. So we all get together and have one big happy family kind of party, and it's great. So come join us. I like to start with some jokes. Do you know what an ig is? An ig. It's a snow house without a loo.
Oh.
Why does it take longer to build a blonde snowman, no offense to anyone who's blonde, okay, than it does a regular one? Because you have to hollow out the head. Some days I feel like that's happened since I colored my hair blonde. I don't know. And here's one that I really love. I know many of you, all of you, probably have heard of Mahatma Gandhi. Well, you know, he walked just about everywhere he went, and he walked barefoot. And that resulted in some really impressive calluses on his feet. And he didn't eat very well, so he was kind of frail. And his weird diet ended up causing him a lot of bad breath issues. So he is a super calloused, fragile mystic, hexed by halitosis. So there you go. I love that. It took a lot of practice to say that last part, let me tell you. But I love it. It's just sweet, and I think he's laughing when he hears it every time somebody tells that. So today I want to talk to you about writing it up, and I also want to talk about the law of entrainment. Besides Richard and Jim, who knows what the law of entrainment is? Some of you do. You guys are on it. You're great. Wonderful. Well, that's awesome. And for those of you who can't recall what that is right off the bat, you've been using the law of entrainment, engaging in this all of your lives. Very simply, the law of entrainment is essentially refers to a synchronicity that comes about when two or more rhythmic cycles come together, okay? Now, the way that this was developed or identified, this was way back in 1665, even before Richard was born. It was developed by a Dutch guy. He was a scientist. And what he did was he put a bunch of pendulums in the same room, and he set them to go back and forth at random intervals. What he found out in short order is that they synchronized. Click, clock, click, clock. They all lined up and began to tick at the same rate and in the same rhythm together. That's the law of entrainment. It's really a very simple process. So we see this, too, with human beings. They did a study, and actually, again, this was some Danish, also some Dutch individuals. Okay, he went over to Spain. They went to a little village where every year there's a fire walk held. It's a ritualistic experience in that village. And they connected 12 fire walkers to heart rate monitors. Then they took 9 people who were friends or family of those who were walking on fire, and they also hooked them up to heart rate monitors. Then they took another random 17 people who were just kind of there, hanging out, watching the whole thing, that didn't have anybody, you know, they were close to that was walking on fire. What they saw was that the heart rate rhythms for the firewalkers and their family and friends began to rhythmically line up, okay? Or any of you engaged with the choral group? I think they did meet here, maybe at UU now, Ubuntu. When people come together and sing, the same thing happens. So if you think about, gosh, I go on Sundays and sometimes I hear these speakers and they don't mean anything, but the music just makes my heart expand. Maybe that's part of what's happening. Well, what is my belief? And this is judged basically a lot, tremendously, through my own experiential process, but also through getting to know people who are living a spiritual practice, you know, making a core component of each day of their lives, that spiritual practice, that spiritual process, is that when we engage in spiritual practice, we are literally engaging in the law of entrainment, and we are entraining ourselves more deeply with not just the heart rate, but the consciousness and the breath and the very life of God, or whatever you want to call it. We know in metaphysical teachings, we don't really care what you refer to God as, because we understand that which is whole and holy is way beyond anything physical, and also expresses itself in everything that is physical. So everything that is truly a representative expression of the divine. That's probably one of the most powerful experiences I've had in my spiritual walk on the last 29 years. And of course, I'm only about 29 years, and that bio that's ancient is, so whatever, okay, yeah. So for years, part of my spiritual practice has been journaling, has been writing. And I know Jim at times, others of you probably too, have come to this community and you have spoken about your writing practices or offered workshops and things like that on it. I didn't come into writing to God on any kind of real willing process. In fact, I was told to do it by people who knew better than me, and I basically said, in your ear. Well, actually, it was much uglier than that, okay? But, it happens. Sometimes the things that we need to do come easily for us, and other times we are backed up against the wall and really sweating bullets before we become willing, before we surrender to that process. For years, I called my writing practice Conversations with God. Neil Donald Walsh did steal my title, okay, dang it. But, you know, he's Neil Donald Walsh, so I guess I'll let him, right? So, but really, for me, it is just a way of connecting. It's a way of connecting with my inner wisdom. It's a way of, you can laugh, but really and truly, it's like flushing the cosmic commode. Because what I do is I sit down. I like to do this in the morning. I've done it other times too, sometimes backed up against that wall again. You know, we go back to the things that work. But I'll be sitting down in the morning having my coffee. I have cats, so we have to get them fed and out of the way first. And I'll get my journal and I'll drink my coffee and I'll do my little writing. And the process that seemed to emerge for years was that I would write first about the things that weren't fun, i.e., it's morning. I am not, do you get this? Not a morning person, have never been one, and don't want to be one, okay? We'll only go, you know, resistingly, okay? I'll write about it's cold outside and I don't want to have to go out and go through what it takes to get from where I am to out there in the world, okay? Perhaps I didn't sleep well, so I'll put all that junk, if you will, on paper. And what's happened over the years is that this process has emerged, whereas I did that, I got cleaner. It really was like taking a good old big poop, okay? And I could flush that stuff and let it go and walk away feeling a lot freer. What would happen is that the good stuff would begin to flow in, or maybe it was there the whole time and I just didn't feel it because I needed to take a dump. Who knows, okay? To me, that analogy works pretty good, though. So I get up in the morning, and I do my writing, and I'm pretty, pardon the expression, religious about it. If I don't do this for 2 or 3 days, you do not want to be in my company. I do not want to be in my company. It's not very pretty, you know. So it really obviously has some effect on my capacity to do what I do, okay? So that's the fun stuff, okay? Now, as I mentioned, I'm a minister with science, with what is called Centers for Spiritual Living. We're a Science of Mind organization. And one of the perks or bonuses that I have of being a minister is that I subscribe to a minister's listserv. Well, early last year, there was a message that came across the minister's listserv about this book. If you can't see the title, it's called The Path to Wealth, and it's written by a lady named Mae McCarthy. I'll tell you some more about Mae in a few minutes. Okay, I have a book addiction. I used to have a lot of really interesting things along that line. Most of them are pretty well put to rest and calmed down, and I do pretty good taking care of myself and not getting into crazy addictive behaviors. But the books, I just refused to kind of give up. So I saw the title and said, order it now. And I did, and I got it, and I looked at it, and I went, okay, nice book, whatever, didn't read it, put it on the shelf. That's what, usually that's the problem I have with books is I get them, I order them, and if it takes a couple days for the book to get to me, I'm so past that point, you know, that I'm like, oh yeah, I did order this, great, I wonder what I paid for it, I hope it wasn't too much, nice book, good, put it on the shelf, okay. So I just, you know, filed the book and didn't think much of it, and went on, you know, just kind of went on my way. Now I know some of you, Jim and Lucy and Kay and others, you've been here with the Spiritual Light Center for many, many years. And I know that you will remember a little guy by the name of Zeb Fry. Remember Zeb?
Yeah.
Yeah, Zeb came from Asheville. Zeb was a practitioner at the Center for Spiritual Living in Asheville. He's down in Charlotte now, by the way. He and his wife, Lisa, have another child, Bodie. So they have Jesse and Bodie, and they're just so awesome. They're just the sweetest, awesome family I think I've ever seen. But Zeb liked to do a message, and I know I think he did this one here. I know he did it at Open Door in my community. And essentially, it was about doing some writing. It was modified from a thing he saw on the movie The Secret, which I'm sure many of you remember or recall. If you haven't seen The Secret, go find it. It's amazing. It's just incredible. It'll set your life on fire and you know, in good directions. It's really wonderful stuff. Zeb liked to teach about the process of writing, and what he did was he just took a legal pad every morning, and he wrote, I'm so happy and grateful for. And he wrote down all of the things that he was grateful for in his life. It could be anything from as simple to, I'm so grateful for this beautiful crystal sitting in front of me, to the weather outside today that it didn't snow. I was concerned last night. I thought, great, not only do I need to contend with Sundays and getting off my ski lift of a driveway, but I need to go to Franklin. So we really know there will not be any slick highways out there. So I think it's all drying up as we speak. It's great, okay? But that's what you do. You just begin to write, I am so happy and grateful for the things you're grateful for in your life, okay? I am so happy and grateful for, you know, I got in the shower today and I had hot water. I know that doesn't sound like much, but think of the volumes of people that have no water, let alone any that's hot. Last year on the 1st of January, it was very cold outside, very cold. And I got up and I turned on the water in my townhouse and I had no water. It was frozen. It had frozen in the pump house thing. Our homeowners association is sort of intangible at times. Is that a nice way to say it? So it ended up being me linking 17 extension cords together and had taken a ceramic heater to the pump house and blessing the whole almighty mess, saying, you will not burn down, okay? You know, and just keeping an eye on it till we got it unthawed and we got the homeowners association out of whatever intangible place they had been. But whatever it is, I am so happy and grateful for the fact that I woke up and, you know, I'm pain-free. That wasn't the way that it's been every morning of my life. I'm sure that's true for you too. I'm so happy and grateful for my cats. They're fed and now they're not all over me. I am so happy and grateful for that first cup of coffee because there's nothing like it every day. How is that so special? The first one, the rest of it isn't that good, okay? You know, it degrades or something, I don't know. And then when you get that part done, Zeb's recommendation was you write, I am so happy and grateful for all the things that you want to see, whether it's more vibrant, dynamic health, greater coherence in your financial reality, okay? Perhaps it's more connected, tangible relationships or a more cohesive work environment where people are cooperating and respectful and considerate of each other. Wouldn't that be amazing? We can even do this process for the world at large. I am so happy and grateful to know that this world is at peace, that each and every one of our leaders is aligned with that truth that serves the heart and soul of every one of us. Not just a few, but everyone, okay? So that was Zeb's process. When Zeb came to our community, he had amassed legal pad after legal pad. You probably could have papered a room with the paper, okay? You know, that's what we should do with our good journal stuff, isn't it? Our handwritten affirmations, paper the room. Wow, the energy would be great, okay? What he was doing in doing that was evoking and invoking two very powerful things. One is the spiritual practice of writing, because I believe when we set it on paper, we cause the universe to stand up and hear it and see it in a louder reality. The other one was that he was utilizing the spiritual principle of gratitude, and that is powerful. I believe it was Eric Butterworth, the Unity minister, who said that, let's see, something like Thanksgiving is not just, it's not just like a happy emotion, okay? It truly is causative. It's a causative energy that causes amazing things to happen. So I went to, that's enough of that, okay. So we know about Zeb, we know about I'm so happy and grateful for. Well, then I get back, you know, in the email world, and I find that I have a notice from the Center for Spiritual Living over in Asheville, which is my second or third or fifth, whatever you guys, you all are in there somewhere, spiritual family, okay, that they're going to do their annual prosperity class. This is last year in July, and they're going to use The Power to Wealth by Mae McCarthy as the text. And I thought, okay, obviously, you know, take the 2x4 upside the head before it gets to be any louder and harder. Go take the class. So I read the book and I took the class, and here is what I found. What Mae McCarthy teaches in this book is an amazing practice. It's a 7-step practice, and I actually have handouts in my bag. I tell you what, I'll wait, since I didn't bring them up with me, I'll wait and I'll pass them out right after we close the service, so you'll have that to take home. Her process is a 7-step process. It's very powerful, okay? I know that many of you are familiar with how in the business world we have CFOs, chief fiscal or financial officers, or CEOs, chief executive officers, that are basically the head honcho, right, or head honchos. Well, in this process, the core component for me is that every day you meet with your chief spiritual officer and you sit down and you literally write down that process of the things you're grateful for and the things that you're grateful that you wish to see. So perhaps you wish to lose 25 pounds. That is one of your, I don't like New Year's resolutions, I think they bespeak problems rather than commitments. But, you know, but perhaps that is one of the things for New Year's that you're looking at changing is your weight, okay? Or maybe your diet, okay? You could write, I am so happy and grateful for that I only consume foods that truly nurture and feed my body to the absolute, you know, highest health possible, okay? I see some of you with, like, special drinks. That's always a wonderful way to do life, isn't it? I love it, yeah. It's a great way to clean things up. So that is the process. And what I have done, I have taken, with the process that I've been using, a little bit of Zeb, which is I am so happy and grateful for, and a little bit of May, which is Dear CSO, I am so happy and grateful for, and I have been using that since July. Now, I have been writing for years, and for years I have used gratitude as the vehicle to support and align that process, okay, with not only what I want to see blowing up in the world happening, but with what I believe the divine wishes to see, not only for me, but for every one of us, a happier, more stable, more equally balanced world for every one of us. And I have seen that be very possible, very, very powerful, okay? This has just rocked my socks off, okay? It has just absolutely kicked my spiritual butt, okay? And I love having my spiritual butt kicked, you guys. I really do. It just like rocks my socks. So a few things about Mae McCarthy that I want to tell you. When I've actually opened the book and started reading it, okay, it's amazing what happens when you get over yourself, isn't it? Okay, I realized that it was dedicated to a gal by the name of Sharon Ramey. Sharon Ramey is a Science of Mind minister on the West Coast somewhere. I can't remember if she's in California or like somewhere up the Pacific Northwest. Sharon and I were prayer partners right about the time that we started what was the Science of Mind Study Group of Silva, of Western North Carolina, which is the predecessor to my church, Open Door Center, today in Silva. Okay, she was starting a study group, and I was starting a study group, and somehow the universe put us in the same grocery cart, so if you will, and we ended up being long-distance prayer partners. Okay, that's another component about May's practice that I really like. You go to someone, you have someone that is holding that dream with you, okay? Whether it's a dream of more, again, more financially coherent presence in the world, whether it's a dream of better health, perhaps it's even for a relationship. You know, at one point in this process, I was feeling some real consternation in a family situation. And so one morning it just hit me, you can include this. I am so happy and grateful that this person and I are respectful, are supportive, and loving with each other. It happened that day, okay? To me, this is about moving us from thinking I have the possibility to bring in what I want to see in my world, to hoping, to moving into the fringe of believing. And when we begin to believe, that's the point at which we receive. Wayne Dyer wrote a book, You'll See It When You Believe It. I believe that's, I'm saying that right, yes, okay. It's powerful, okay, and that's another good read, but it's true. So my encouragement is, take this today. I'll share the handouts after we close. Consider May's book. It's not, she didn't pay me to get up here and talk to you guys, okay? I don't even know her. I haven't been in touch with Sharon for years. It just cracked me up when I saw Sharon's name in here. I was like, yeah, it's a small world. So do it, and let's see if we can't really entrain not only ourselves, but the world with that song, that one song. You know, that's what universe means. Uni is one, and verse is song. If we can't entrain with one song, let's see what kind of powerful stuff happens using this process this year. I love you. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Cool.